Book of Psalms 37, verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now we love that verse, don't we? But then verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. He shall bring it to pass. Father, we love you today. Thank you for your divine presence. Thank you for what you've already done in this service this morning. But Father, the truth of the matter is we've all heard enough gospel to save the world already. Really don't need to hear another message. We just need to obey what we know. So Father, my prayer this morning is that that's exactly what we'll all do. Just respond to what we've already heard in the past. And let Jesus Christ be the Lord of our life. Anoint these lips of clay, anoint the listening ear this morning. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. I simply want to ask you a question this morning. Very simple. Nothing complicated. Very simple question. Who are you trusting this morning? You're trusting someone or something this very moment. You're trusting your life with something or someone right now. You're trusting your family with someone. You're trusting someone to meet your needs or something. Who are you trusting? Let's imagine, this is not possible, but just let's imagine for the next few moments. If we could literally talk with people who are in eternity right now. If we could literally talk with people that are in eternity right now, I believe, and we could ask them this question. If you had your life to live over, who would you trust? I believe the answer to everyone in heaven would be, I'd serve Jesus and trust him if I had it all to do over. What about the people in hell today? What if we were to ask them, who would you trust if you had another life to live? I believe every one of them would say, if I had one more opportunity, I'd trust Jesus. I trust Jesus for my whole life. I trust Jesus for everything. Who are you trusting today? Well, as I've already said, we love that scripture, verse 4, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. We love that verse. We want God to give us everything we want, and we want it now. We don't want to wait on it. We're the fast food society. We're the microwave oven society. Stand in front of the microwave and say, hurry up and pop. Well, so hold up. There's a biblical principle. Having our desires granted. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Are you willing to do that today? What are you committed to? Who are you committed to today? There's a biblical principle. Having our desires granted. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Are you willing to do that today? What are you committed to? Who are you committed to today? Trust also in the Lord, and he shall bring it to pass. Who are you trusting today? Who are you trusting your future to today? The word trust simply means confidence. Who do you have the most confidence in today? yourself or Jesus? Who do you have the most confidence in today? Jesus or your job? Who do you have the most confidence in today? Who you have the most confidence in today is the Lord of your life. Who you have the most confidence in today is the one that you believe will give you the desires of your heart. Confidence in Christ alone today is what God wants us to have. Trust also means sure. To be sure about something. Are you sure today that the thing or the person you're giving your life to and you serve the most, are you really sure that that person or that thing is going to be with you on Judgment Day? Are you really sure about that today? You better be sure. You better be sure that what you are trusting and what you're serving today is going to be able to stand before you on Judgment Day and say, Father, let them in. They're mine. Paul the Apostle said it like this, I know in whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed. Unto him against that day. Paul, he wasn't doubting. He wasn't wishy-washy. He wasn't riding the fence. He didn't have any doubts. He said, I know, ladies and gentlemen. I know where my confidence lies today. He says, I know that I have no doubts today. But I am positive, 100% positive. And I'm absolutely sure today that this absolute truth of the Word of God is going to keep me another day God calls me home to glory. Are you that sure this morning about what you're trusting in? I just want to mention to you this morning a few things of what the Bible talks about that people are trusting in. They trusted in them thousands of years ago, and it's as relevant today as if it was written today by God. Some said they trust in chariots and horses. That's what they trusted in. That's your mode of transportation. Oh, there's nothing wrong today with driving a Rolls Royce. But it won't get you to heaven. What are you trusting in today? The Bible says also in Psalms that they not only trust in chariots and horses, but they trusted in princes. They trusted in the government. They trusted in the higher power. They trusted the ones that were over them. Let me tell you something this morning, my friend. Washington, D.C. is not our answer. London is not our answer today. Our answer is trusting Jesus Christ alone. Our answer today is trusting in the one who was and is and forevermore shall be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Kings will die, and princes will die, and presidents will die, and rulers will die, and Saudi kings will die. But the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he died one time. He'll never die again. He lives forever and forever and forevermore. This is Resurrection Sunday. You don't have to wait until next Sunday. He's alive this morning. Hallelujah. You see, every day is Easter. We got this thing whole wrong today, folks. He said, I am the resurrection. They'll pack it out next Sunday morning. Most of them won't have any idea what it means. Jesus is a resurrection. You see, you don't have to wait until Easter. It's Easter on the 4th of July. It's Easter throughout the year. Why? Because Jesus Christ is seated at the Father's right hand, and He's interceding for you today to have your every need supplied according to His riches and glory today. He's alive today. The Bible also says, in the book of Micah, it says, that if you trust in a friend, you'll fall. If you trust in a friend, you will fall. Nothing wrong with having friends. It's good to have someone to talk to. But you know what? Don't put too much confidence in that friend. You know why? They're going to die. They're going to disappoint you. Have you ever been disappointed by a friend? You had the utmost confidence in that friend. And you told that friend some things you never told anyone. It may have even been a friend in here. You may have put your faith and trust in that friend that you grew up with. Maybe a co-worker. Maybe a fellow Christian. But the Bible says in Micah, if you put your trust in that friend, you'll fall. I didn't write the book, I just preach it. But there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, who will never leave you nor forsake you. Earthly friends will break your heart. Earthly friendships will disappoint you. And many people are casting their entire lives on a person they can see. They've got more trust and more confidence in a person they can see and touch and talk to one-on-one and hear them speak as a human speaks instead of trusting in the friend today that gave his life for you on a hill called Calvary. If you put your trust in a friend, you'll fall. You'll fall. It's just a matter of time. Also, the Bible says that you are not to trust in graven images. Oh, I know when we talk about graven images, we want to talk about building the golden calf. We want to talk about making the golden statue. And we want to talk about these things that we can literally see in the corner of our house. But that's really not what he's talking about today. It's just who we worship. It's just who we put number one in our life. For who you put number one in your life is who you trust the most. And your graven image today, it doesn't even have to be something bad. It doesn't have to be something immoral. It can be something that is legitimate. But you can make that thing your God. What have we done in America? We've made sports the God of America. There are people today right now across America that they want to be at our church for 12 o'clock because the Indianapolis Colts, if this were football season, they're saying they're playing at 12 noon. You know what I learned recently? It came to me. You see, it's not the time or the length of the service that really counts today that people are concerned about. It's just what they have an appetite for. You see, when people say that, it means they have got an appetite more for things like sports than they have an appetite for the things of God. This has been a couple of years ago. We were in Nebraska. In revival, we'd been there a couple of times, and Jonathan had a friend there. He'd spent a night with Jonathan on Friday night. They spent Saturday together. Went to church together, of course, Saturday night. And Jonathan said to his friend, he said, "I'll see you tomorrow morning." At this time, they were in the fifth grade, okay? And Jonathan's friend said, I won't be here in the morning, Jonathan. Why not? Well, I've got a football game tomorrow at noon. Fifth grade. There was a day in America that would never have happened in the fifth grade. Jonathan said, "Dad, can I go?" He knew the answer, but he asked anyway. See, a fifth grader shouldn't have an option to go to church or not. You don't agree, but I'm right. But I said, "Jonathan, I'll tell you what I'll do. After the service tomorrow morning, I'll take you down there and you finish the game with him. Dad, would you preach short in the morning?" "Probably won't happen, son." I don't know. We got about 12:20, 12:30, and we went down. I took him down there as I told him I would. We had about 60 people in church that Sunday morning. No wonder we didn't have any more. That sports complex was packed with people. On God's day. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. The Bible still says that. I'm not meddling, I'm preaching, okay? You see today, my dear friend, graven images. It can be something, it can be an adult toy. Adults have their toys too, you know. God's not against you having your toys, sir. He just doesn't want your toy to become your God. You see, do not put your trust and don't have confidence in your graven images. Cast them aside. Put them under the blood of Jesus Christ and serve the only true and living God, that's Jesus Christ today. And He alone can meet your need and He alone can give you the desires of your heart. So why don't you trust Him today? God's Word says, don't trust a liar. Who's he talking about? Well, Jesus said in the gospel, he said, the devil is a liar and the father of lies. And folks, multitudes today are believing a liar. Amen. Oh, you say, "Preacher, I don't serve the devil." Well, you're being deceived. Because you think that you can do what you want to do down here and then God be pleased with you down here and God let you into heaven. It's not going to happen, folks. You're going to have to serve Jesus down here, my friend, with all of your heart. Be committed to Him here if you want to hear Him say, "Well done," up there one of these days. And you see, beloved, today, you and I, We must not be deceived. We must not be the lie from the pits of hell. But we must believe the truth today, who is Jesus Christ, who says, I am the way from here to heaven, and there is no other name under heaven whereby man can be saved except in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God today. We must not believe a lie today. We're even believing a lie in the church today. Christians are believing a lie today. In so many cases. Revival's outdated. Social gospel. Non-confrontational. Just do your own thing. God understands. I agree with that statement. God understands fully. You'll never pull the wool over His eyes. He knows exactly why you do what you do. He knows where you do it. He knows when you do it. He knows who you do it with. And He knows when you do it by yourself. He knows everything about you today. Don't believe a lie from the pits of hell today, my friend. There is a Jesus today who still saves from sin. And there is still a Jesus today who can make a way for you when there seems to be no way. And Jesus is the only one that can do that today for you. But what are we doing today? We're trusting in what we can see. We say, if I get this or this or this, then that'll be okay. We're trusting. Lie. Straight from the devil. Oh, preacher, this is a new generation. This is the X generation. Y and Z generation. Whatever. Preacher, get relevant. I was in a revival several years ago. On Friday night, a lady in middle age came up to me and said, preacher, when are you going to preach something relevant? I didn't respond to her. Wouldn't have done any good. I just turned and walked away. Sunday morning, I didn't know she was a Sunday school teacher, but that a class I went into, but she was. First thing she said, well, preacher, I guess you have been preaching things relevant this week, haven't you? I didn't say anything. The Bible is relevant. The Bible is the absolute truth. It doesn't matter if I believe it or do not believe it. The Bible is still the absolute truth. It doesn't matter if I believe it or not. If I get on a 10-story building and I jump off, I'm going to hit the ground because there's a law of gravity. I don't care who you are. The law of gravity works. And I don't care who you are today, but the spiritual law still works. Except I repent, I perish. But if I confess my sins, He'll forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And I can live a holy and clean and godly life in this unholy and ungodly world today. This is the absolute truth here today, ladies and gentlemen. This is the inerrant, infallible, eternal Word of the living God today. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Heaven and earth will pass away, but Jesus says, my Word never will. This Word does not change from generation to generation. This Word is the same today as it was for your mom and daddy, your grandma and grandpa, and it'll be the same if Jesus tarries for another 100 years. This Word will still be the same. And this Word will still say the same thing. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Still says that today. The Bible also says, by grace are we saved through faith. That not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. It's not of our works, lest any man should boast. Works today are okay. But your works cannot save you. Your good deeds can't get you to heaven. Serving on the church board can't get you to heaven. Hiding behind the church can't get you to heaven. Going to the farm of godliness cannot save you. Keeping a set of man-made rules cannot save you. Joining the church can't save you. The thief on the cross that received Christ never joined the church, never was baptized with water. And he went straight to heaven. He never paid his tithes. He never gave his offerings. He never gave a dime to the kingdom of God. And he went straight to heaven. Our righteousness is filthy rags in the eyes of God. The Bible also says that we must not put our trust in riches. Jesus said in the parable of the sower, he said, because of the deceitfulness of riches, the word is choked out of their life. Don't put your trust in your riches. Don't put your trust in your 401k. Stock market could plunge tomorrow morning at the ring of the bell. Don't put your trust today in your employer. You might get a pink slip tomorrow. We live in an uncertain, insecure world. The global economic condition today is near bankruptcy. America, $14 trillion in debt. How much are you in debt? Don't trust in your riches, because your riches cannot buy you one link to heaven's gate. Do not put your trust in what you possess, because what you possess in this earth can be burned up in a moment of time. And there's multitudes of Americans today that are putting their trust in what they have acquired in life. And they're acquiring things of life at the expense of Christ. They don't have time for Him. They can't make it on 40 hours a week, so they get a second job. They can't make it on that. So they're working 80, 90 hours a week. And the ends still don't meet. I can tell you why. Very simple. That's out of God's plan. That's out of God's plan. God has a plan today. Pay your tithes, give your offerings. And He said, I will open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings upon you that you cannot contain, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. That's God's promise to you. He says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet with, it shall be measured unto you again. But nothing times nothing is still nothing. One of these days, all you're going to have is what you invest in the kingdom. That's all. I'm not preaching this to get an offering, because my faith is not in you. You're a channel, but you're not the source. I've only got one source. And he owns all the silver and he owns all the gold. Haggai 2:8. You see today, my friend, riches will fail you. You see today, my dear friend, riches is a trick of the enemy. Now, God is not opposed to you of being billionaires. God's not opposed to that. What God's opposed to is that you put your riches above Him. That's what God opposes. What God opposes is not what you have materially, but when those material possessions possess you. That's what God opposes. Because when you put your trust in your riches and your material possessions, then that means that Christ is left out. Why leave out the one that's eternal? Why not leave out the things that are temporal? And that's your riches. Don't put your trust in yourself. The Bible talks about it in 2 Corinthians. Don't trust yourself to save yourself. You cannot save yourself. You can never become good enough to be a part of the family of God in your own strength. You will never deserve the price of redemption. No matter what you do in life, no matter how good you are, no matter how good to people you are, no matter how good to your spouse, this church, your children you are, you cannot save yourself. You've got to have a Savior. You've got to have a Savior. And His name is Jesus. For He alone is the Savior of the world. He said, I came to seek and to save the lost. And He says today, my friend, I am the way to the Father. No one comes to the Father except to the Son, Jesus Christ. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you and I must make sure today, my friend, that we do not trust in the things that are temporal, but we trust in the things, that person that is eternal. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Have you done that today? Oh, I know today, so many people want to ride the fence. They've got one foot in the world, one foot in the church, and they wonder why we don't have the desires of our heart. Simple. You got to be totally committed before Christ will give you the desires of your heart. He's under no obligation to meet your need, to give you the desires of your heart. As long as you're riding the fence, as long as you're flimsy in your commitment, and your commitment is just half-hearted, until you get your heart in serving God, He's under no obligation to give you the desires of your heart. It's commitment today. What does the Church of the Nazarene need? I'll tell you what we need today. We need more people to get sold out and go with God. We need people to make up their mind they're going through with God. We need people that will make up their minds that no matter what is going on in town, if church doors are open, I'm going to be there. I know this is not recall preaching, but I haven't worried about that for 32 years. No need to start now. Let me tell you, folks, you've got needs in your marriage. You've got needs in your family. You've got needs in your life. And you're looking at the wrong place to have them met. You need to get committed to Jesus Christ. He's the way maker today. He's got grace that is greater than all of our sins. He's got grace that is sufficient. His grace is like an ocean without a shoreline today. It has no boundaries. It has no limits. So why don't you just come to Jesus and get committed to Him today? Stop trying to serve two masters. Stop trying to do it what Jesus said you can never do. He said, no man can serve two masters. It's either Jesus or it's you. Or it's your graven image. Or it's your friend. Or it's your horse and chariot. Or it's your riches. It's one of those things. Preacher, I don't have time to go to church except on Sunday morning. No wonder your life's in a mess. No mystery. You don't have time for God. You don't have time for church. You don't have time to come worship Him. And you wonder why things are falling apart. No mystery. I know going to church won't save you. I know that. But the church is the only thing Jesus is coming back for. That's all. What are you committed to today? Preacher, I love Jesus. Well, show it. Get committed. Sell out. He said, the man that finds his life shall lose it. For the man or the woman that loses his life for my sake shall find it. You want real life? You want meaning to your life? Commit your life to Jesus Christ. And stop trying to serve mammon. Christ. 2,000 years ago, on a hill called Calvary, Jesus, the Son of God, went all the way and gave His life for you. Next Sunday, you'll be celebrating the resurrection here. But if there had not been a crucifixion, Sunday would never have come. Where does life begin? At the cross. Spiritual life begins at the cross. What did Jesus do on the cross? Was He indecisive? What do you think? No. He had His mind made up. I'm going to the cross. Regardless of what happens, I'm going to fulfill my mission from the Father. What did Jesus do on the cross? Did He deserve to be there? No. He was the spotless lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world. He had no sin within Himself. He lived a sinless life, but He was there because of you and because of me. He could have called 10,000 angels and He would have been set free. Nobody killed Jesus. The Roman soldiers didn't kill Him. He said, I have the power to lay my life down. I have the power to raise my life up. Nobody killed Jesus. It was His destiny. It was the Father's will, because the Father said, Son, this is the only way that I can have a relationship with my creation again, is for you to go to the cross and die. So Jesus came. suspended between heaven and earth, between two thieves. Dying for you. And then you're going to trust in something that wouldn't die for you. Did you hear me? And then you're going to trust your life with somebody or something that wouldn't die for you? You're going to trust your marriage, your family, your entire life, and your eternal destiny to somebody, to something that can't save you. I'm here to tell you today, my dear friend, Jesus is the only one that can set you free. Jesus is His name today. And when He hung there on that rugged cross, suspended between heaven and earth, and He shed His blood in all seven places, which means completion, He cried, "It is finished." What did He mean? He says, "There's nothing else I can do for you and you and you and me." He says, "I've done it all. Redemption is complete. The blood's been shed to cover every area of your life." He says, "If you want it, you can have it. But if you don't want it, you cannot. You don't have to take it." But He says, "Here I am." He says, "I'm dying for you on a cross." Mel Gibson didn't even come close to portraying Jesus. Sorry. What Jesus went through cannot be portrayed from Hollywood. Sorry. His organs were revealed from the beating that He took. Pulled out His beard. Men, how would you like that to happen to you? Pulled His beard out. Spat on Him. Pierced His side. Why did He do it? He didn't have to. But He did it so that you could go, so that you could be committed to someone that loved you enough to die for you. So that you could be committed to someone that could supply all of your need. To be committed to someone that could give you something worth living for here and something worth dying for. So that's why He died that day. And all He is asking of you today is to give your life to Him. Without any reservations. That's all He's asking. It's for you to give your life to Him without anything held back. That's all He's asking from you. "Oh, preacher, I love Jesus." That's just a cliche, basically, today in America. That's all it is. If you really love Jesus today, you will be committed to Him. Lock, stock, and barrel. If you really love Jesus today, you'll not serve yourself. You won't live your life to please yourself. You will live your life to please the one that gave His life for you on a hill called Calvary. Who are you going to trust today? Who are you going to trust your life with? People in heaven, and we were to ask them today, they said, "I'd do it all over again." But people in hell today would say, "If I had one more opportunity like you got on this Sunday morning, this Palm Sunday, I wouldn't wait for anybody else to go to the altar. I wouldn't even wait on the preacher to open it. I'd be running to it and saying, 'Jesus, I commit my all to You right now.'" Don't wait until it's one day too late. Today is a day of salvation. Now is accepted time. Give your life completely to Jesus Christ.